This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Welcome, Talk Catholic, the website.com. Your host, Tim Kilcoyne. No agendas here, just the straight and narrow. Through Mary to Jesus, the Catholic faith proclaimed and preserved. Hope to see you here every week.
TalkCatholic.com with Tim Kilcoyne. We get closer to Thanksgiving, Turkey Day, and I was just out in my backyard, which is virtually a wildlife sanctuary. I'm saying prayers to our Lord, and turkey walks right by me about 10 yards away. And the funny thing is, I never see them for most of the year until this very time of the year. I wonder what that's about. Do they know that I live on turkey? Yes, it's one of my favorite delicacies. It's not a delicacy, it's a staple. I'm sitting here writhing in pain. I'll tell you about that in a second. We will come close, not yet, but we're drawing to the home stretch of Mother Angelica's book, Answers, Not Promises. And we will then start a new book review soon. We still have our saint of the month every last Saturday of the month. In any event, I am sitting here at the time of this recording, in pain. And I did something that I shouldn't have done, so I deserve every bit of it. Pain is good, you know, when it's the consequence of going against your conscience. Think about that. Everybody jumps on Catholics from the old days, like, oh, they're all into that guilt thing. Had a woman actually say did exactly that to me in a nursing home not too long ago. Found out I was Catholic, and the first thing that came to mind, oh, you're into guilt. Okay.
You can keep living in 1968.
Yeah, if it helps you get to heaven, absolutely.
I'm into guilt.
Well, anyway,
on to the golf course.
I was not wanting to play golf, and that's where I violated my conscience, because I didn't think it was the right thing to do. I was hitting quite a few balls the day before. But my friend wanted to play golf, and I knew it was his day off from work. So I obliged, and I said to him as soon as I got to the course, I said, I'm doing this for you, you know, and because I shouldn't be playing today. Well, then we get to the second hole. I'm in the cart with him, and we're picking, there's a golf ball there that, you know, somebody lost, I guess. And so I go over to pick it up from the cart. So I'm sitting in the cart and I start leaning over to pick up the golf ball. And there's like a handle on the golf cart on my left side. And it's about, I don't know, an inch in width or something. Does it not get stuck in between my ribs? Oh my. Unbelievable. I had no idea what happened. I was like diming, to use a good golf term. And anyway, I'm hobbling about with some bruised ribs, and they can keep you up at night. So please, I ask for a prayer. But in the meantime, I pray that I will do with this pain what is our task with pain
required
from the old days again. All good. Offer it up. It's not like there's not enough wicked stuff going on. What's the latest from the Vatican?
Just a few weeks ago.
It was another episode of sacrilege relative to religious infiltration of other faith traditions in the midst of St. Peter's. We've got some real, I'm trying not to use the word characters, but these are the people I keep on going back to, my professors in theology from the 1970s. They are in control of our church right now. They're in their late 60s, 70s, into early 80s, and they won't give up on their so-called ecumenical agenda, which is the agenda of never teaching the Catholic faith.
But rather learning about what you think about these things first. And we never get to the Catholic faith?
These are the same very people that have been only promoting social justice, but will never say, is the word diddly squat okay from the pulpit about relevant issues under those Ten Commandments. Oh, no, we can't go there. So
that makes us rigid and uncompromising on official church teaching age old.
We're going to learn our lessons the hard way, and don't think, as I've said in a previous show commentary, that there's not a connecting of the dots between some of the wicked, heinous evil that's been happening out there in the secular world. In any event, I should tell you about the beautiful day that I had yesterday in attending the funeral of one of my all-time favorites. Bob was his name, married to Doris. And I used to reach out. Bob actually worked for me in the golf business years ago. Used to open up the facility at 5 a.m. To take care of the maintenance. And he was so dependable that thankfully I never had to get up at 5 a.m. to see if he was there. And he was one of those down-to-earth, salt-of-the-earth, practical kind of guys, a husband, father, and a fixture of Amesbury, Massachusetts. He was similar to my dad, a pillar of the community, known by the nickname Minsky, the name of his cat in childhood. Funny how we get those nicknames in these small towns. And, well, what was very sad, but then I thought about it, ever so symbolic. It was a dual funeral with his wife, Doris, and 73 years married. How about that for stability and faithfulness? And she was lovely. She'd always be asking, how's Timmy doing? And she'd be praying her rosary for me. And, well, apparently Doris was in the process of falling downstairs. And recently I've been just singing praises for Erica Kirk and what she did at her husband's funeral, not only in the forgiving of her killer, but what she said about men and women and the proper order of marriage was just, I just thought she undid decades of silence about Catholic Church teaching relative to marriage. And of course, you should know St. Paul's teaching about wives being submissive to their husbands requires that the husband lay his life down for his wife. Well, that's exactly what Bob did, as both of them were in their 90s. And then he apparently reached out to try to grab on to Doris, and they both went down. So sad. But then, like I said, I said to his son at the funeral, he totally gave his life up for Doris. That's what he did. Exactly what we're expected to do, those of you who are called to marriage and are husbands amongst us. It's a dying love that is required. It's a beautiful thing. And that is why, if it's done appropriately,
a woman would only want to be submissive to her husband.
And I ask you for your prayers for Bob and Doris. Just lovely. All American, all Catholic. And in that, in his honor, I thought to myself, gee, why don't I go find another original employee that worked for me at that time of that particular golf facility, which was just down the road from the funeral. And I knew where he lived. His name is Tony. And Tony is a bit on the eccentric side. He doesn't even know it. He almost lives the life of St. Francis or St. Philip Neri, but he doesn't believe. Well, we'll get to that in a second. What I did was I went to find him just by chance to tell him about Bob's passing. And so I go into this small little seacoast town and I go into a music store, and I knew these guys had been around for quite some time. And I just said, would you know of a musician named Tony that, he kind of goes out and plays his guitar once in a while in the streets here. Oh, is that him over there? And he points across the street right out the window, and there he was. And Tony was overjoyed to see me. And it's not like Tony and I were on the same footing ideologically. As I said, he doesn't believe, and he's 75. He is of the original flower power people of the late 60s. And he hasn't changed much. And he's still holding on to the old song by the Beatles, Imagine. Oh, I don't want to go there. Boy, has that song got me into some arguments. Well, I want to really give you the profile here because he is a mystery of God's grace, as we all are. And I get a sense that he's evolving. As the one Jesuit years ago said, we're either moving forward or we're going backward. There is no neutral in the spiritual life. And as I listened to the new Tony, what made him new was that he was a little more on the conservative side with regard to the practical, and that was definitely new.
Because he was indeed a dreamer.
And so I sense that he's seeing the light of things.
Ever so gradually.
But I told him about continuing on in Catholic ministry myself, and I don't even want to tell you what he said about that. You know, he just doesn't believe. And then he was explaining to me that he had had a couple of heart attacks, and he said the likely reason for the heart attack was that he ate a lot of pizza, and there's a lot of cheese in pizza. And I said to him, then he told me just prior to that, it was during a time I was living with a gal. Okay.
Not okay.
So I said to him, Tony, there's the difference between you and I. You think you took a heart attack because of cheese on your pizza. Might have had something to do with living illicitly with a woman.
Not married. Tony broke out in big time laughter, but I'm not quite sure he really got what I was saying.
I hope he pondered what I just said to him, because sin, and I said to him, it's still called sin. I said it with a smile, no doubt, but it is still called sin. And I hope you think about it a little bit. You see, ladies and gentlemen, guilt is good. It's about the only thing that moves a person forward in the spiritual life, other than God's direct intervening into your life to knock you over the head, St. Paul style. You have to be made, and that is the word, I guess, you have to be made to feel guilty about something or you're not going to change.
That means others are required.
And this is why when people do engage in illicit and immoral kind of lifestyles, they need a social pressure, and I'm talking family,
or good friends,
on them in order to get the message that you're hurting us. You're hurting God, number one. You're hurting not only your family, but also the greater community at large, because if we allowed for some of these immoralities, then you'd have total chaos, you know, as we see too often in the streets today. But it's all about the acceptance of guilt, saying yes to acknowledging that what you're doing is violating some moral norms that are not going to move you in a good direction when it really counts. And I believe that Tony, who's just so wise at virtually every other level, that he is in the process of coming home. And he's one of these very reclusive kind of guy. He's literally out in the streets of his hometown playing music, bringing joy and love. You know, that's why I say, he's almost living the life of St. Francis and St. Philip Neri, and he doesn't even know it.
And I think of St. Therese as well in her little way. Tony is a little one, I do believe. And he has a great love for children and playing his guitar for them. He also happens to play the drums, the piano. He's written over 100 songs, and he doesn't seek to promote himself in any way, shape, or form except to put out the hat for tips. He's something else. And I actually feel in many ways honored to know him, because the one thing he isn't is pretentious. He is the real deal.
There's no duplicity with Tony.
So I'm sure, but God knows it. And don't you think, when I look at Tony, I don't say, well, you know, He might have a few rows ahead of me if I can get into heaven. So nothing is impossible in God's grace. Everyone out there, wokesters included, God waits.
But please, you've got to care enough about your loved one to tell them directly that what they're doing could be hurting themselves. And that's exactly what I did under God's grace of obligation. And he took it most well. But first, you have to have a church leadership that believes that people need to come home. And that's a whole nother topic.
Okay. And that is the first part of our show today. A little more about Tim and his trials and tribulations and in the street evangelization. I hope you enjoyed it.
Because I consider sharing at the personal level an integral part of ministry. If people aren't sharing a little bit of the personal, they're hiding. We won't do it here. This is WQPH Radio 89.3 FM.
Well, just a couple of quick quotes from last session with Mother, because they're just classic. She was talking about heaven, hell, and purgatory as if it was a daytime quiz show. And she says, our hopes are pinned on door number 2, the door to purgatory. And we hope against hope that when the time comes, we'll be able to slide into the back of that great halfway house in the sky. And then she says, I know so many that are members of the now generation. It seems like the only thing they put off until later is the development of their spiritual life. But later could mean never in the context of the supernatural. And then she said, sometimes, what is it? How come we have a hard time focusing on this faraway place? It's as if our eyes are covered by a strange haze. Sometimes the haze is sheer intellectual laziness. Other times it's sin, riches, lust, alcohol, pride, desire for human glory. If you find it difficult to focus on heaven as the purpose of your life, take a look at what it is, or who it is, that is keeping you away from it. What is it that makes you desire to live in a mud shack rather than a mansion? What is it in your life that clouds your vision so badly? Oh, Mother just hits it on the head all the time. This business about door number 2 is significant, because why is that so much the reach of most Christians?
Or at least Catholics who believe in purgatory.
Because it's easy. We just want to get a little toehold, little foot in heaven just by a hair, so that we can continue on and wallow in our sinful ways and then just hope that most of them are kind of venial. Mother's trying to put the emphasis on how our holiness is the accumulation of choices that we make over the long haul. And the degree of your holiness, whenever it's time to go, was exactly that accumulation. And that's what you're going to be judged on. In other words, we are deciding our level of holiness or evil right now. And for too many, this is what she meant by, why do so many of you prefer to live in a mud shack than a mansion? You know, there are degrees in heaven.
Degrees of holiness.
It's good to be competitive for holiness. I'm okay, as I've said it so many times, with Mother Teresa in the front row.
There's true justice in that, isn't there?
All right. But how many people do you know, and I know many, both in my world of golf that I've traveled for many years as a golf professional and as a Catholic religious educator, an equal number of years. And I promise you, the professions don't mean anything with regard to individuals deciding that they would like to go spiritual and go below the surface a little bit and stop acting and living in the peripheral and the superficial. It ain't just the country club, I promise you. It's wherever you are. And most people kind of don't want to go there. I have some real professional friends who are great guys and gals in their particular walk in life, but you won't get them to go theological for 20 seconds. And these are people 60 plus. So, you know, it's like, when can we go there? We'll go there right now. Mother says, subtopic, happiness is not joy. I have concluded that the pursuit of happiness keeps more people out of heaven then there are angels to count them. Happiness, Mother. Yes, happiness. As Christians, we have failed to make a crucial distinction between the pursuit of happiness and the pursuit of joy. I hope when I get to the kingdom, I'll be able to have a long talk on this subject with the founding fathers of our country. Because when they threw happiness into the life and liberty equation, they granted it a stature it truly does not deserve. You see, happiness is a happening, and because it is a happening, it's bound to change or disappear or simply die. Happiness disappoints us because it depends on other people, other places, other things. Your husband comes home from a lousy day at work and he's miserable, while little Junior, who got an A in science, is on cloud nine. The next day, your husband gets a raise and your son gets an F, and the two have traded places before your very eyes. Happiness is not exactly what I'd call reliable. When you get hung up on its pursuit, your attitude shifts from a reliance on God and on your spiritual life to a reliance on whatever external factors give you pleasure. You fight and claw to control the uncontrollable, to win that which cannot be won. And the great casualty of this obsession with happiness is your holiness. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that all of us should go around with frowns on our faces. When I hear my nuns laughing, it is to me like a choir of angels. But if my well-being depended on their laughter or their love, I'd be in a pickle. You and I have got to face facts. There is sadness in this life. There is suffering all around us. It would be folly to devote an entire lifetime to our own passing comforts or to the good times. The attitude that says, all I want in life is to be happy, has diverted millions of souls from achieving knowledge of God, the true source of everlasting happiness. And this is why, as Christians, we must distinguish between the pursuit of happiness and the pursuit of joy. Joy in our hearts is the awakening of God in our souls, whose kingdom we can know and experience here on earth. Joy is the knowledge that God's will is being accomplished in our lives. It is this knowledge that gives us the strength to dance for joy when we are persecuted, to endure insult and injury with the peace of Jesus, to take whatever comes, the good, the bad, and all the rest, as the will of God. Joy is what comes from the divine indwelling of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our souls. With God's grace, we can achieve heaven in our lives on earth by following the basic teachings of Jesus, those teachings that are profoundly simple and yet so often elusive. And here she gives some very practical tips. We can be faithful to the duties of our state in life, whether we are single, married, or have a religious vocation, as we obey God's commandments. We can respond to the daily crises of our life with the gentleness, courage, and dignity of our Lord. We can make God the center of our lives, always making more room for Him in our hearts. We can trust God no matter how ridiculous, perilous, or mysterious our plight may be. We can trust that He is watching, guiding, and protecting us, even when all looks so horribly lost. The pursuit of joy in this life is not as difficult as it seems. It is not reserved for the cloistered nun or the inspired preacher or the tireless charity worker. Joy, an uncanny joy, a joy that allows you to take the most bitter experiences in life and get through them with the peace of God, is for you. It all boils down to three words: accepting God's will. We know that this is sometimes easier said than done, but with faith, hope, and love as your spiritual companions, you will grow in this direction. The joy you can achieve by uniting your tremendous desire, energy, and will to the will of God is liberating beyond your wildest dreams. When you accept God's will in every aspect of your life, you will find God providing you with the strength, courage, and dignity that resounds to the heavens. It resounds to the heavens because it doesn't have far to go. Heaven, you see, is suddenly in your heart.
Well, my mind immediately goes to the movie Ben-Hur, the classic, where Judah Ben-Hur couldn't understand a woman who was without use of her legs, who had been in the presence of our Lord during his walk on this earth. But it was not God's will that she regain the functionality of her legs. And she had such a serene peacefulness about her in accepting exactly God's will. And it was folly, of course, at that time, this is before his conversion, to Judah Ben-Hur. I'm also reminded of my own roommate from Boston College days, who died at 33, the year of our Lord, in terms of his age. And his name was Bob, and he did not experience much happiness in this life. He had rheumatoid arthritis from the time of 11 years of age onward. He lived in pain every
day.
So life cannot be about the pursuit of happiness.
But he did have a great, great faith and a deep peace. And this is what Mother is really speaking of right now. And then finally, as a high school teacher, I've said before, I used to refer to the movie Field of Dreams and the tragedy, Moonlight Graham, who could have been a baseball star, he said, a tragedy would have been if I didn't have the other gifts of being a doctor that would be suitable for my state in life
for years to come
and the service of many others. So human dreams and God's will, the goal is to get them in sync for sure. And we try to do it right here every week. This is WQPH Radio 89.3 FM.
Time to put together that list of all that you're grateful for and give it to God this coming Thanksgiving. God bless.
Let your light shine. That is what it's all about here at WQPH Radio 89.3 FM. But we need to hear your story. You want your voice to be his voice. That is making the faith known to others. Please. My number is 877-625-3727, Tim Kilcoyne, talkcatholic.com.
St. Mother Teresa told us, your ministry is your work right where you are. Grab on to this microphone. God bless.